Hello and welcome to Boomeranging, from expat to repat, a podcast that explores the question, what could be so hard about returning home after years living overseas? I'm your host, Margot Anderson, and in each episode, I will sit down with a former Aussie expat to discuss how they survived repatriation and reverse culture shock, how they navigated the logistics of careers, friends, and family to successfully find their new place at home, and all without losing their global spirit. If you have just returned home, are thinking about it, or just love a good yarn told by professional globetrotters, then I have no doubt you'll enjoy meeting this diverse group of Australians. When Beck McDougall returned to Australia after 9 years in London, she never imagined her journey would lead to a rural life in regional Victoria. Her time in London unlocked a passion for brand curation, where she took on a series of formative roles with the likes of Elle Macpherson's lifestyle brand, The Body, and organisations such as Quintessentially, a luxury brand experience consultancy. It was at this time Beck envisaged her future, developing a collective of brands in the wellness and lifestyle space with experience at the core. She wrote her first business plan in 2007, but it was top-drawed for quite a few years as her practical career flourished. Upon her return to Australia, Beck initially took on a series of corporate roles that combined this love of luxury brands and events, but there was always a yearning to revisit the business plan that was sitting in the top drawer. Not long after meeting her husband Angus, they bought a farm outside of Benalla with a view to a long-term restoration project, and Dunmore Farm was born. With aspirations of creating a UK Soho farmhouse offering, Beck also drew inspiration from the likes of Daylesford Farm in the Cotswolds and The Newt in Somerset, UK. Today, more than a decade after writing her original business plan, Beck's vision for a portfolio of lifestyle brands is being realised. I'm looking forward to exploring with Beck how these international experiences continue to influence her career and business ventures today, and how this former city gal has transitioned from bright lights to starry nights in regional Victoria. So welcome, Beck.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, today we are chatting with you on the farm, but for those listeners who don't know Benalla, can you just tell us where you are?
Our farm is in Mollyula, which is 20 kilometres outside of Benalla, southeast of Benalla, heading towards the King Valley. And it's an easy 2.5 hours drive up the Hume Highway from Melbourne.
Now, before we dive into life overseas, can you take us back to what you were doing before you jumped on the plane to London?
I was living in Melbourne. I was at the time working for GlaxoSmithKline. In my earlier part of my career, I was in the pharmaceutical world, and I'd been working for GSK for 3.5 years, and I was doing some postgrad study in marketing. I'd completed my undergrad in applied science with a marketing major, and I was really eager to get into marketing within GSK. However, I missed out on a role, and it was at the time very disappointing, but it was also an opportunity for me to sort of go, okay, where am I? What am I doing? What's next?
Bit of a sliding doors moment.
Yes, absolutely.
So you also had a bit of a touch of expat experiences through your family, didn't you, like as a child with parents working offshore?
Yes, that's right. So when I was 15, they moved over to Hong Kong and were there for 5 years. So they gave me the choice to stay or go, and I decided to stay. I was in year 11 and I wanted to complete school in Melbourne, which I did, and then I went on to do my university studies as well in Melbourne.
Do you think having that exposure, you know, through them and then also older siblings who were living overseas, that that planted the seeds for you to go? Do you think it was inevitable that you'd head offshore?
Absolutely. When I said to my family that when I'd made the decision I was going overseas, their response was about time. So it was definitely, I think, having, moved around. I was born in New Zealand, moved to Melbourne, moved to Brisbane, back to Melbourne. Mum and Dad moved to Hong Kong. There'd been already quite a bit of movement, so I was somewhat familiar with movement and change, and definitely overseas travel was always something that I had really aspired to, and as you mentioned, had older siblings who were overseas in various places. So it was just a matter of, I think, the right time to do it.
So the time came about, you know, with the crossroads at GSK. You jump on the plane. you go to London. How do things unfold there?
Yeah, well, it was really, I mean, I went over there. I decided to go by myself. I wanted to really immerse myself in, you know, London life. I had some contact in London, but I decided to make a choice to move to Islington, of all places. And whilst I had, you know, the idea of that perhaps moving on from the pharmaceutical industry was my ideal scenario, it was very easy for me to get a job. And as everyone knows, when you land in London in your early 20s, it's all very sparkly and shiny, but you do need some cash. So I decided I got a job with Pfizer actually quite quickly. And that was really a blessing in disguise because it was just a nice way. There was a couple of Australians working on the team that I was working on. I had a really great boss. So it was a really nice sort of segue into getting to know my way around London and, you know, having that introduction to the UK.
You did remain, I guess, focused on your plan of getting into marketing and in particular brand. How quickly did that unfold for you and what did that look like?
I'd been working for Pfizer for a couple of years and I'd renewed my visa, so I was going to stay on. And the opportunity came to work for Elle Macpherson through a family friend. And I certainly was really interested in Elle as a businesswoman, as well as, you know, she has obviously done an incredible job in building a, you know, incredible portfolio of brands and a very, very strong personal brand. So it worked for her probably for nearly 5 years in brand manager capacity.
And that was at a fairly exciting time, wasn't it? That was when the brand, the body was really coming into its, you know, into its own. It seemed that everywhere we turned, there were new components to the portfolio.
Yeah, so I was really fortunate. Whilst I was primarily focused on launching the body, the brand, which was a license and primarily distributed in UK to start with, it was, yeah, I mean, I certainly had the opportunity to work across her portfolio, which was really exciting. And I guess that really gave me a really great view of a portfolio of licensing brands and the, you know, the challenges and the opportunities of working in licensing.
Phenomenal learnings.
Incredible. Incredible. She really taught me a lot about branding and so much about, you know, expanding the brand, but whilst also intricate details of branding as well, which was hugely valuable in future roles that I undertook.
And so it was in the UK that you also really pursued your passion for wellness, which I can also see how that sort of probably has come from a thread through Elle, but it was something that you did independently to her too.
Yeah, I mean, wellness has always been something that I've been really passionate about. I commenced my undergrad study in applied science in health promotion. And at the time, you know, as a student, I'd always been working in the health and fitness space and certainly having a very healthy and you know, well-being was a huge part of growing up. And whilst working for Elle, I sort of undertook further studies in therapies like reflexology and Australian bushflower bark essences. I mean, I love learning. I think the body is incredibly amazing machine and there's so much to learn about it. So whilst it wasn't the modalities I necessarily wanted to work in, it really gave me an appreciation for different aspects of wellness and wellbeing. And what also then triggered me to start doing various wellness events and where we would host a number of different partnerships within art galleries and those sorts of spaces where people would actually have the opportunity to come and try and how to experience such modalities.
So I think, you know, for many of us, we go initially for adventure, we stay for career because these opportunities just really unfold. But there's something about the UK that, you know, or wherever we may find ourselves that keeps us anchored there. So from a lifestyle perspective, what is it that the UK offered you?
I think that the UK is just, it is so dynamic. It is so vibrant. You've got so much to explore. There's so many great areas of the UK. And, you know, surely in 9 years I will have seen a lot of it and I did, but there's still so much to see and explore. It's really endless opportunities for exploration and adventure. And you know, whether it's the cultural side of things, whether it's the travel, whether it's the culinary scene, it's just a melting pot of so much. And there is a pace about it and there's an energy about London that is really...
it's addictive, isn't it?
I can't say the word addictive. It is. Thank you. And it is, you know, that hustle and bustle feeling. I love that feeling. And, you know, whilst country life is beautiful, that hustle and bustle is definitely, you still have that, you know, in you when you, and it's something that such big cities have. And not to mention the people there, you're meeting so many different people, you know, groups of people, walks of life, you know, it's all sorts. And I think that's part of the richness of travel as well. Before I knew it, you know, I got to 6 years of living there, and, you know, it's amazing how time flies there. You're always saying yes. You never say no to things. It's just that open-mindedness, that willingness, and opportunities just keep presenting themselves. So you're like, okay, what's next?
You did, though, get to a point where you thought, okay, I'm going to jump on the plane or jump off this train, so to speak, and return to Australia. What was the impetus for that?
I'd had a really full 6 years. Life had been very busy, both professionally and personally. And I thought, you know, was it time to go home? Was the grass greener? And look, it dawned on me, and I can still, you know, really vividly recall the conversation I had about a friend, and he was saying, you know, you're at 6 years, you're not far away from being eligible for a UK passport. Surely that's not something that you might want to rethink about before you jump back home. And it really did play on me. And you know, 3 years later, I had a UK passport, which now my daughter, I'm hoping, will be really grateful for. I didn't have the passport, so I had to go through the whole visa renewal process. I've done the hard yards for her.
You initially returned to Sydney. It was for a short time, but was that a lifestyle play to go there, or was that driven by a career choice?
It was lifestyle. I had a lot of friends who had found themselves in Sydney, who UK had spent time in London and decided to make Sydney their new home. And I had brothers in Sydney. I had, you know, friends. And prior to moving to London, I had sort of had Sydney on my radar, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And so I thought, yeah, why not? What have I got to lose? Go home to Sydney and give it a go. I love Sydney. Sydney's a beautiful city, and I was there probably 6 months, 9 months, but I realised Melbourne is perhaps where my heart was, and an opportunity came up. It was a contract role to work for Events Melbourne, and I thought, perfect, I can go to Melbourne. I can just reconnect there with Melbourne, having been away for such a long time, you know, where who I was and when I left and who I was coming back is obviously different. And I had gone completely different jobs. I wasn't in the pharmaceutical space any longer, and my professional network was definitely very different. However, I took the role, and within 6 months the role became permanent. And I think there's something about Melbourne that is actually really quite similar to London. It has a real rich diversity and lots of beautiful places to live in Melbourne that offer all different things. I felt I'd made the right decision going back to Melbourne, and I felt more settled in Melbourne than I did in Sydney. Don't get me wrong, Sydney's a beautiful city, and I think it's such a wonderful place to visit, but I think that Melbourne is really me.
And I think being able to recognise that and being in a position to call it, you know, is A, I guess, fortunate, but B, I mean, I think it's brave to do that too, is to redirect the ship when you need to. So, yeah. So you came back, you had an opportunity with Events Melbourne, you saw yourself working on Fashion Week and a couple of the big signature events down here, but you then also were attracted away from that sort of bigger, more government-led arena into the smaller entrepreneurial businesses. And so you joined the likes of Kit Nace, I think was one of them, and Criterion. What stood out about those brands? I'm interested.
The common thread in my career I've come to learn, and something that I love, is building, and it's building brands and launching brands and expanding brands. And definitely Kit Nace was a startup, you know, a Canadian fashion brand, and really getting things started from the ground up, which was incredibly inspiring and challenging, and change was the constant, which, you know, really suited me. And I had an incredible team, and the people at Kit Nace were phenomenal. It was a really, really great group of people working there. It was a really fun time. And whilst that didn't, you know, go on to be an ongoing brand, unfortunately, I was
kind to, you know, maybe it was too fast for expansion in the marketplace. But it was a really great learning experience, and building a foreign brand and bringing that to market in Australia was really exciting.
Because that came out of the founders, didn't it, of Lululemon?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Having sort of had my experience in the fashion space, it was a nice segue into building a brand like that. And then I went to Criteria for a short time as well, which is a high-end furniture and lighting gallery. And, yeah, again, it was that building phase. The business was in a building, you know, ready to expand, and the opportunity presented as Kitten's doors closed, then another opportunity presented, which I think has been something that I've been really fortunate with, and timings of opportunities have presented right when they needed to.
What's your observation, or what have you learned about the appetite for foreign luxury brands in the Australian market?
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And, you know, you just go around in the likes of a Chadston and count, you know, how many international brands are in, you know, in Australia, and more want to come. The demand's here. The more, you know, there's so many more wanting to come. It's really incredible how much Australians are so welcoming. You know, whilst they love to support local, there is a real appetite for international.
Now, you move to what is going to become another almost startup. You meet your husband, Angus, and you decide to take on a little, and I say little in inverted commas, a little farm project. What convinced you to say yes to this?
Great question. We had finished renovating our house in Melbourne, and we both really enjoyed the process. At the completion of that, or near completion, Angus said, "What about another project?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And in my mind, or what I thought he had in mind, was a beach house restoration, renovation, finding something that we can, you know, work on together. And he said, "What about a farm?" And I was like, "Farm?" I said, "Okay, why not? Why not?" And you know, it had always been his dream to have. He's always had a keen interest in property. He has always had the dream of having his own farm and land. And perhaps if we had met in the UK, you know, that dream may have been realised over there. However, we found what is now known as Dunmore Farm. It was 2.5 hours out of Melbourne instead of 2 hours. And at the time, obviously working in Melbourne, you know, we bought the property with this long-term 10-year restoration sort of idea. And so the weekend commute could be kind of my max was 2 hours. However, it wasn't actually long after having the farm and we realised that actually this was a really wonderful project that we had commenced and that we were both finding incredibly rewarding. You know, I think it was within 6 months that we then started having a conversation within 3 months saying, could we make this a full-time gig? Angus was already spending a lot of time at the farm. I wasn't spending as much time and sort of getting up, being very envious that he was at the farm. But, yeah, the farm has evolved.
So you kind of flipped the model, I guess, in the sense that it went from the weekender to the full-time piece. I guess this was also where you think, okay, I'm going to take out that once dusty business plan, blow off the dust and see what we can bring to life, isn't it? Because Dunmore has evolved into more than just a restoration project. Can you tell us a little bit more about the evolution and what Dunmore looks like today?
Yeah, so it's a 150-acre small working farm. So we run Angus cattle. Angus was a non-negotiable, naturally. And in addition to the farming side of things, we've got an old historic 1860s cottage, which we spent the first 12 months restoring, and that became our farm's day. And we've been running that for 6 years now, which has been really wonderful. And we were fortunate to win Australia's Best Nature Stay, voted by Airbnb last year. So that was a really lovely thing to be recognised for our efforts. It's been an absolute great hosting, and we've met so many incredible people. And in addition to running the farm stay, we've also had an event program, which is collaborative long table dining experiences. That's probably been a passion of mine because I love great food, I love great wine, I love great conversation. So it's been a really beautiful way to be able to celebrate all the incredible makers and producers in our region and bring people primarily from the east coast of Australia for a weekend away in northeast Victoria all fueled on beautiful food and wine and conversation, and then also led us to expand our event offering. And we're just near the completion of the restoration of our shearing shed, which will then house beautiful weddings and events. And Angus and I actually got married on the property, I was going to say 5 years ago, have I got it right? Weddings was something that was always a possibility, and we know how special it is to marry at Dunmore, and we're incredibly excited that we will soon be hosting weddings. So yeah, and then complementary to our Farms Day and events side of things, we've also got an online shop, which is a beautiful curated collection of travel and lifestyle pieces. And it just is a nice way for guests to be able to take home a piece of Dunmore, so to speak.
Yeah. And how much inspiration have you drawn from in the restoration project from your time overseas?
Oh, it's been hugely influential. I think our travels has definitely been one of our biggest sources of inspiration. And certainly when we were curating the experience of Dunmore, as well as the design and fit out of the cottage, I have very much drawn on my previous travels and stays and experiences and events that I've been into during my time in the UK and in Europe. And it's been hugely influential and inspiration for Dunmore.
I can see buying and sourcing trips internationally coming on the radar very soon, Beck.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, enough projects.
Well, it's funny that because I know there is another project that's also emerging, and that probably goes back to what you thought your initial project was going to be in terms of a beach house. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So, look, Dunmore is a really, it's been a beautiful experience building Dunmore, and we have had the opportunity to work on Dunmore by the Sea, and it's a property that has actually been owned by the McDougall family for 40 years. And we are, as we speak, working on crafting a Dunmore experience down on the Bellarine Peninsula, which will be really beautiful. It will be an extension of Dunmore, but also complementary to a farm experience. You'll get to have the coastal experience all within the Dunmore brand.
And so that's also obviously going to see you build out your local networks in that region and find opportunities to partner or showcase the region more broadly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's been so beautiful about building and establishing the business up here is where we are, the local collaborations and the local community is really rich, and it's really lovely to be able to partner and collaborate and showcase to guests and what our beautiful regions offer, because one of the biggest barriers, and I know for Northeast Victoria, is very much awareness. People don't necessarily know where Molly Eula is. They might have a little bit more insight into where the Bellarine Peninsula is, but certainly it's a lovely way to be able to share all the local gems and curate experiences for guests.
I'm interested, Beck, in that business plan you wrote all those many years ago. How close to the proposal are you, or to the plan are you?
Strangely, it's been very close. And the part of it which we touched on earlier was the area of wellness. Wellness was very heavily featured in the business plan, and it's something that I am working on. Sometimes, you know, it's a timing thing, as everything is. And I think once we get wellness, the packages are developed, we are going to be offering wellness experiences here at Dunmore, and they will be able to be very much translated at Dunmore by the coast as well. So, yeah, strangely, that business plan that I wrote many years ago, quite special to read it now and be living and breathing it without me realizing what its initial and purpose was going to be.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think I'm sure you didn't have Benalla written into the business plan, or Molly Eula written into the business plan, but it's amazing, isn't it, when you kind of almost put it out there, what can come, what can transpire.
Absolutely. Power of written word.
So, Beck, your career has really unfolded, you know, a long way from those early stages of being in pharmaceutical sales, or, you know, even in more traditional marketing roles. For those people who are looking to pursue or create new opportunities upon their return, what sort of advice would you have? What are your learnings?
I definitely feel that you have to give things a go. They may not all make sense at the time, but that open-mindedness that you went over to Europe with, reconnect with that, because I think it's a really amazing when you start reconnecting with people, opportunities present themselves. And, you know, if I look back, the decision to move to Sydney, whilst, you know, it felt like the right thing to do in London when I got there, I wouldn't say it was the wrong thing to do. It just, there was something better for me in Melbourne, and that was better for me professionally and personally. And at the time, I wouldn't necessarily have known that had I not given it a go. And I wouldn't consider Sydney a mistake as such. It was a really great learning, and I was really fortunate that I could go to Sydney and have that experience. But I definitely think, you know, be open-minded to things and try things and, you know, reconnect with people, build your network, because it's, the networking is so incredibly powerful. It just really does facilitate, you know, conversations, opportunities, and put yourself out there, like, you know. And it does take time, and it's, you know, something like it did when I moved to London. It took me a couple of years, I feel, that to really settle in. Yeah. You know, coming back home as well, I would say the same thing. It takes time to settle in, reconnect, and just feel that groundedness, as well as, you know, the finding the right opportunities. And I think opportunities continue to present themselves now, and I think it's just a matter of working out the timings of things and when those opportunities are going to be right to pursue.
And I know one of the things that you've been very committed to right from the early days is engaging with the local community and finding, you know, different things to attend, be it a food and wine festival in the local suburb where you are, or, you know, whatever that might be. You know, are there particular events or things that you found really important?
Definitely my interests are in the wellness, are in food and wine, well-being, nature. And, you know, having been at, you know, certain events, whether it's a wellness event, I've met a great friend who was sitting on the next yoga mat next to me when I first came back, my dear friend, wow, Sasha Stewart. And she has been such a wonderful friend. But that was just being at an event, and it was a corporate event, but it was really wonderful how, you know, those opportunities when you don't realize, you just never know who you're going to meet and what friendships, wow, or, you know, professional opportunities might present themselves for you.
I think that being connected to your own interests and actively pursuing the local opportunity for those interests to unfold is really critical. Now, Bec, we like to close all of our conversations with five quick questions. I'd love to put those to you now. Living overseas taught me what about myself?
Resilience.
Yeah. Nice. Over 9 years, I'm sure that you had plenty of opportunities to practice that. The number one skill you use in your business today is?
Problem solving.
The best thing you've discovered since arriving home is?
I'd have to say my husband, Angus.
Ah, nice, nice. The first thing I'd encourage a new repat to do is?
Revisit all your favourite haunts, reconnect with all your old friends, colleagues, just reconnect that connection piece is a huge piece and so valuable when you're back.
And a word, song or quote that best describes your time overseas is?
The journey is the destination.
Very nice, very nice. Bec, I've really enjoyed our chat. I do want to congratulate you on Dunmore. I've had the privilege of being there a couple of times, and it is certainly a very special part of the world, and I think that's largely because of the magic you've put on it. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review, share it with your friends and family, and subscribe for future episodes. For more information on our guests, please head to our website, insyncnetworkgroup.com. where you can check out the show notes and also find more information about our career advisory programs and fabulous community.